This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the September 13, 2013 podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. My name is Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. Topics covered in this week's podcast are the peripheral nerve, vascular disorders, and neurosurgical history. Assessment of the rate of spinal motor axon regeneration by choline acetyltransferase immunohistochemistry following sciatic nerve crush injury in mice. A laboratory investigation by Jiju Yuan and colleagues. Despite the potential of peripheral nerves to regenerate axons and re-innervate end organs, functional recovery rarely returns to the normal level after a peripheral nerve injury due to muscle atrophy caused by the delayed re-innervation. Thus, discovering new therapies for accelerating the rate of motor axon growth after peripheral nerve injury is of clinical importance. There is, however, a lack of convenient and reliable methods for measuring the rate of motor axons. In this rodent model, the authors found that assessing the rate of motor axon regeneration at an early stage of axonal growth through immunostaining of peripheral nerve sections against choline acetyltransferase is a reliable method. The study demonstrated the following. 1. Choline acetyltransferase immunoreactive motor sprouts could be detected in a crushed sciatic nerve even at 3 or 7 days after injury. 2. In the crushed sciatic nerve, choline acetyltransferase, a motor axon-specific antigen, was totally colocalized with growth-associated protein 43. Which is expressed in regenerating nerves and transported into growth cones. A technique to identify core journals for neurosurgery using citation scatter analysis and the Bradford distribution across neurosurgery journals. A review article by Venkatesh Madugiri and co-authors. It has been shown that most physicians update themselves by reading journals on their personal subscription lists. Given the prolific nature of scientific publication, it is very important to determine the journals that should populate that list. Useful journals would be those that publish the maximum numbers of useful articles, with useful articles defined as those that are highly cited by other authors in the field. The impact factor and H-index are commonly used metrics, but they rely on a count of how many citations a paper published in a journal receives, but not where these citations occur, which limits their utility for selecting the most useful journals. These metrics do not consider to whom a paper is useful. The authors therefore attempted to identify the core journals in general neurosurgery using Bradford's law and citation analysis. These core journals would be must-read periodicals for every general neurosurgeon. Bradford's law states that if a certain number, say C, of journals provide a certain number, say N, of useful articles in a field, the number of journals required to supply the subsequent sets of N useful articles would follow the distribution C, CK, CK squared. The number of core journals would differ for each field. The authors analyzed citation patterns of papers in neurosurgery, and they identified the 6 core or must-read journals for general neurosurgery. These journals were Journal of Neurosurgery, Neurosurgery, Spine, Acta Neurochirurgica, Stroke, and Journal of Neurotrauma. Low-dose intravenous heparin infusion in patients with aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage. A preliminary assessment. A clinical article by J. Mark Simard and co-workers. To some it may sound crazy, but in a new paper, Simard and colleagues propose the use of an intravenous heparin infusion in patients with subarachnoid hemorrhage. Everyone knows that heparin is an anticoagulant, but in this case, anticoagulation was not the goal. Over the last decade, in fields outside of neurosurgery, including treatment of bowel inflammation, burns, and cancer, it has come to be recognized that low-dose heparin can be used as a potent anti-inflammatory agent. Neuroinflammation is an important consequence of subarachnoid hemorrhage and may account for many of the adverse effects that afflict these patients, including vasospasm and cognitive impairment. Recognizing this, Simard and colleagues wondered whether heparin might be used to reduce neuroinflammation in patients with subarachnoid hemorrhage. This group recently published preclinical work showing that low-dose heparin infusion in a rat model of subarachnoid hemorrhage is highly effective in reducing neuroinflammation and its adverse consequences, including white matter loss and transsynaptic apoptosis. Here, in this new paper in the Journal of Neurosurgery, they report early stage but very favorable findings regarding vasospasm-related outcomes in patients with subarachnoid hemorrhage whose aneurysm is surgically secured. The multi-decade-long quest to identify effective pharmacotherapy to reduce the harmful consequences of subarachnoid hemorrhage has yet to bear fruit. Heparin is the latest in a long line of attempts to solve this vexing challenge. The findings in this paper provide hope that the quest may not be futile. Predicting inpatient complications from cerebral aneurysm clipping. The Nationwide Inpatient Sample, 2005 to 2009. A clinical article by Kaiman Bekelis and colleagues. Precise delineation of individualized risks of morbidity and mortality is crucial in decision-making in cerebrovascular neurosurgery. In the featured study, the authors attempted to create a predictive model of complications in patients undergoing cerebral aneurysm clipping. They performed a retrospective cohort study of patients who had undergone cerebral aneurysm clipping between 2005 and 2009 and were registered in the National Inpatient Sample Database, a prospective hospital discharge database that contains a representative sample of all inpatient admissions to non-federal hospitals in the United States. By using information obtained from the database, the authors identified independent risk factors associated with death, unfavorable discharge, stroke, treated hydrocephalus, cardiac complications, deep venous thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, acute renal failure, and prolonged hospitalization in patients undergoing cerebral aneurysm clipping. The results of a multivariate analysis were used to devise and validate a risk factor-based predictive model of all the outcomes. The model demonstrated good calibration and discrimination. Although these predictions should be generalized with caution, the model may assist with risk stratification and tailoring of surgical decision-making in individual patients. Neurosurgery in the Byzantine Empire, The Contributions of Paul of Aegina, 625 to 690 AD, a historical vignette by Simeon Misios and co-authors. Paul of Aegina was born on the island of Aegina in Greece during the 7th century AD and was one of the most prominent physician writers of the Byzantine Empire. His work, Epitome of Medicine, composed of 7 books, was a comprehensive compendium of the medical and surgical knowledge of his time and was subsequently translated into multiple languages. Paul made valuable contributions to neurosurgical subjects and described procedures for the treatment of nerve injuries, hydrocephalus, and fractures of the skull and spine. His work combined the ancient Greek and Roman medical knowledge of Hippocrates and Galen with contemporary medical observations and served as a bridge between ancient and Byzantine and Arab medicine. Paul is considered to be one of the great ancient Greek medical writers, and his work has influenced the subsequent evolution of Western European and Arab medicine. The authors of this paper provide an account of Paul's contribution to the management of neurosurgical pathologies during the Byzantine era. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.